Well, thank you for making the effort to be here today. Maybe some of you, it was a special effort. You had something else, but in the history of this congregation, and if you're a part of it, part of your history, today is a very significant day. And so I'd like you to stand with me one more time and pray. Say, Pastor, we just pray too much in this church. I don't think. Father, we thank you that you love all of your children and that there's never one of us that can go anywhere that you are not there. You know everything about us. You're concerned about everything that concerns us. You're concerned about this family right here. Those that could not be here today for whatever reason, your love enfolds them as well. And as we hear today the word, may each of us subscribe to what you are doing in our lives, individually and collectively, that our time on this earth might be the most exhilarating, exciting, healthy, prosperous, blessed life we could ever live. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, I'd like to speak to you in a few moments, and then we'll have the notes out, about your most favorite subject, which is fasting. Only three of you. But before I get to that subject, I have a prop for my message today. This is my black hat, obviously. Some of you may have noticed that in cold weather, I have attended services wearing this black hat. Well, on Tuesday of this week, I went to meet a brother who is quite prophetic. He runs the School of the Supernatural. Some of you have met him. Andrew Chapman is his name. He's very prophetic. In fact, the very first time I met him a few years ago, we met at a Costa coffee in the city just off Oxford Street. And as we sat down, I had never met him before, and he said, oh, before we talk anything further, he said, I'd just like to share some things with you. And he told me four or five things about myself that I knew he had no way of knowing unless God had given him that information. And so that was a kind of a good introduction to him as a prophetic ministry. And over the time frame since then, I've had many occasions to be with him, but I haven't seen him for quite a while. And so on Tuesday, we had agreed to meet. We met in the city. And as is the case, he said, oh, by the way, he said, before we talk about anything else, he said, I want to say, where's your hat? I wasn't wearing that hat, and it was quite cold. And so he said, where's your hat? And before I could answer, he said, you lost your hat, but you bought another hat, which he wouldn't have known. That was a piece of information that only God could give him. Then he said, there's something else I need to tell you, and that is, you've got your building. And I said, well, thank you. Thank you. I believe that. Anyway, we went on and we had a great discussion. That was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I met here at Costa here in Wheelstone, the owner of this building. And he basically laid out for me that He's done all of the preparation work for tearing this building down now. He has engaged a contractor and signed a contract. He has all the planning permissions, and so it's about to go ahead. He said he would send me a legal letter by the end of this last week, saying that we would have 30 days to vacate this building and be out of here. He added the proviso that because of the nature of large construction projects, that it might take a little bit longer for the firm to actually turn up at the site with their equipment to knock this building down. So he's thinking we might have as long as an additional 3 months, and he said, I'd like to give you the legal letter, but also let you know that if it didn't require you to be out in 30 days, that you could have a little longer until such time as the contractor. But whenever the contractor comes, that's it. That's it. So I thanked him. I was quite excited about that. I knew this day would come. We've been hearing this message for over a year now. And so it's an exciting day for New Life Bible Church family. We're leaving here. And I don't think that this news comes at some time that is not meaningful. And we had set aside this 10 days of fasting and seeking the Lord before I met, obviously, on Wednesday. And so I believe this is, we're right on time, in God's time, for us to exit this building and enter our own building. Now, I know you probably got 1,000 questions, and so I want to answer them all right now. I don't know. I do know this, is that God always takes you someplace. He always has a plan to take you someplace you couldn't get there by yourself. And he has it so constructed in redemptive history that there are enough things in your way that if you're going to get where he wants you to go, you will have to believe him. That's how you got saved. As the book of Job says, a man can't save himself. He can't make himself clean. If you can't make yourself clean, you can't live in heaven. So it was a bridge too far. And so the only way that you could become born again is to believe God, exercise faith. And when you did, a miracle took place that settled your eternity and your destination. And that's been the nature of your journey ever since. And if that's the nature of our journey individually, it's also the nature of our journey collectively. God will always lead his people to some place that's impossible to go any further without his help. Otherwise, we'd all be self-made Christians. I did it. And so these are exciting days that we have been given final notice to get out of this building. And so already we have done some of the initial brainstorming and planning on how we're going to move logistically all the stuff out of here in the next 30 days or so. So I knew this day would come where I'd have to stand and tell you that we're leaving here. Had I orchestrated this myself, I'd have said, oh, yes, and we have the keys to the new place, and so we'll just move this stuff. That's how I would have done it. Probably that's how you would have done it. But that isn't how God has designed it. And so we know where we're going. And we know it's ours. And so how this plays out, I can't tell you. I just know that it will. And I'd like to tell you a story again that I told you a little earlier, just because of the significance of today. You know, we actually had a celebration meal. Remember, we had a celebration meal celebrating leaving this place? Okay. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, now keep that same face on. Because we celebrated, we had a lot of fun and enjoyment and blessing when we celebrated our leaving. But let me tell you this story, and it fits in the context of everything that God has been doing with our lives. Many other things as well. But this last year, we had been visiting some of my family in America, and I have some other related members that are an older couple. The wife is semi-invalid, and because they don't go out, some of my family members felt to go around to their house on a Sunday morning and just have some church for them. So Marilee could play the piano, or we could worship, and I would share the word, and we would pray with them, and just provide some church for them. They're a lovely, God-loving couple, but not mobile. At least the wife isn't. And we had a wonderful time, lots of Krispy Kreme donuts, and a good celebration. Anyway, we were leaving, and the husband walked out to the car with me. And I was saying to him, you know, you really have a lovely home here. It's a beautiful house, and it backs onto a well-manicured kind of common space for all the houses in that community. And he said, Rick, did I ever tell you the story how we got this house? I said, no. He said, well, he said, we lived, and he gave me the address. I knew where they had lived. And he said, but it wasn't working for us because my wife needed a place where everything was on the same level, ground level. And so we decided we were going to move. And so we put our house on the market. We sold our house, and we found another house, a beautiful home, and we bought that house. And so the day came when we were to move, and because we're not so strong anymore, we hired a moving company, and they brought one of those massive, massive trucks, and they took all of our belongings, and they loaded it onto the truck and took every last stick of ours out of the house on that day, because the people who had bought our home were coming to move in on that day as soon as we got all of our stuff out. And he said that no sooner had gotten the truck filled with all of our belongings than I got a phone call. And it was the estate agent, and she said, you're probably not going to believe this, but the house you purchased, for various legal reasons, that purchase has fallen through. So you do not own that house. Now, I want you to capture the significance here. They've left their house because the new people are coming in. But they can't go to the new house. They're leaving the old house. They have to get out of the old house, but they can't get in the new house. All their stuff's in the van. Now, this story came to me right about the time that we heard that the property we were interested in had been taken off the market. So we were told we had to get out of this house, but the property that we believe is ours was taken off the market. So I'm not the brightest person in the world, but I can see a parallel. Anyway, the story goes, she tells him this, and then she says to him, she says, you know, I'm a Christian, and I'm not taking this sitting down. And so she went to the house that we're currently in, and she knocked on the front door, and a woman came to the door, and she said, excuse me, she said, this may sound like an odd question, but she said, is your house for sale? And the woman stood there aghast with her mouth open, and she said, how did you know? We were only going to list it today. And she said, well, I think I have found your buyer. And so they put their stuff in storage. 2 weeks later, they bought that house and moved in. God had already designed that place for them from before, and it was a miracle that got them in. And so I'm listening to this story knowing about our houses. And I believe that God had us in that track so we could be reminded that no matter how it looks in life, God always has a plan to open doors that look impossible. That's why we have the verse on the wall behind us. And so I want to read just a little bit of prophetic word out of the fasting pack that I gave you. And if you don't have yours, or you lost one, or you weren't here when I passed them out, there's quite a few on the steward's desk back there. If you didn't get one or you would like one, just raise your hand and they'll give you one. Okay. This is a prophetic word that was given to this house by my spiritual father, who had no knowledge of where we are today. And I only want to read a portion of it. You'll have the full copy that you can pray and declare during this season of fasting and prayer. It says, "For I'll take you on a journey that will take you into the impossibilities." Everybody say impossibilities. "I'll take you places that you know that without me you can do nothing. But do not fear when you have come into these places." That's today. Did you hear that? That's today. We were told we're going to have to get out of here in 30 days, maybe a little bit longer, but we're out of here. Here's the word of the Lord. "But do not fear when you come into these places." That's why I was so excited. I had already stopped my coffee, but I was drinking the water. "Do not let your guard down, says the Lord. Hold high the shield of faith, and all those darts will be quenched. For good seasons are destined upon my people. This is not a day of gloom and sadness. This is a day when joy will fill my house, and those that know not the Lord will say, 'What causes joy in the dark day like this?' And you will say, 'It's the Lord's doing and not men, and it's marvelous in our eyes. For I will take you through places that will surprise.' And then your enemies and critics will say, 'Truly, the Lord is with them.'" And so the word of the Lord comes to us. Sometimes it has an immediate application. Sometimes its application is further down the road. But I believe this is a word for now. God has taken us into a place of impossibilities. We've been in this building about 25 years, and now we have been given notice. We're out of here. We knew it was coming, but we didn't know exactly when. But now we have notice, we're out of here in the next 30 days. And I find that quite exciting. And you can say, "Well, okay, Pastor, how does this work? All I know is that if you and I follow our spiritual father, Abraham, we do like he did. God said to him, 'Go and I'll show. Go and I'll show.'" He didn't say, "Now, okay, Abraham, I got it all worked out for you. Here's the map, and here's exactly what you're going to do and how long it's going to take." No, he said, "Leave." And that's what makes our Christian life exciting, is that you can set aside your logic, your information, your human energy and strength, your best ability to plan. But God says, "Go. Go. Trust me, because I want to show you who I am in another way, in a larger way, and add something to your life you could get no other way." And so these are really exciting days. as we seek the Lord and we believe Him for all those things that He has promised to us, both individually and collectively. All right, if you will pass out the notes for the morning message, I'd like to tie what I've just said to you into what we have announced was some time back a season of fasting and prayer. And I've entitled my message today, Fasting and Favor. If you open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Your notes are coming. All right. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 says, when you fast, and I'm sure if you were here last week, you heard me say that the Bible does not say if you fast. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know you are a faster. It says, when you fast, Jesus said. So Jesus fasted. He teaches disciples to fast. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us a great message on discipleship. And so part of it is fasting and prayer. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't look somber. For they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. So that tells us that our fasting is unto the Lord. It's unto the Lord. It's not to go about with a misery face so you can tell people who are inquiring. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward. Everybody say reward. So Jesus said, even the disciples who fasted for the wrong reasons, believe there would be some kind of reward for doing it. I mean, who would decide they weren't going to eat for fun? So if you decide you're not going to eat, then there must be some benefit that comes out of it. And so, though fasting had been long established as a practice all throughout the centuries, here are these first century religious people. I can't call them Christians. They're the hypocrites, probably the scribes and the Pharisees. They are fasting, but they believe they're getting something from it. He says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. They believe that if they fast and they look like they're fasting and they can tell people they're fasting, that they're going to get something from it. And that's, Jesus said, that's their reward. That's their full reward. That's everything they're going to get. They're supposed to be doing it unto me, but that's all they're going to get. They're only going to get people say, wow, that person is really spiritual. In fact, they're so thin from all the fasting, they must really be close to God. Jesus said, they got their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. This is individual fasting. We all know that we're fasting, but outside this building, you don't necessarily need to put a button on you that says, I'm fasting now, don't talk to me. So that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How many of you would rather have God's reward than man's reward? I mean, when God has a reward, it's a reward. So God is telling us that fasting for the right motivation unto the Lord, believing Him, trusting Him, focusing on Him, has a reward. And that's not just a principle laid out in this passage here in the Gospels, but it's throughout the scriptures, as God's people have sought Him in fasting and prayer, God has intervened time and time again. And we gave you some of those examples last week. And some of those verses are in the fasting pack of scriptures that you have. So in this particular time, we want to recognize that we're fasting, believing there is a reward for fasting. And our fasting is unto the Lord. Yeah. You know, I know you can dig up a lot of information on Google about fasting and all of its medical benefits. But I haven't really talked about the medical benefits of fasting because I didn't want you to approach your fasting from a medical side. It's a good thing to do. That's not our focus. Our focus is that we're fasting unto the Lord. Yes, I do believe if you undertake this fast, and you can undertake it for 10 days water only, you will have some physical benefits. In fact, I believe some of you will be healed in your body simply because you are walking in obedience and faith in fasting. But Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And so I would like you to participate in the fast. God wants you to participate in the fast, not because it's just something the church is doing. I believe that if you participate in the fast, you should decide yourself that your motivation is to seek the Lord and to seek His favor. If you do so, and you do so as Jared exhorted us earlier at the start of the service, believing that God will help you even to fast. I mean, fasting isn't easy. Hello. How many of you have found fasting to be really easy? So, it's something, if God requires it, then He will enable us to do it. And there is a benefit and a reward in doing it. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's really what we're doing, is we're fixing our eyes on Jesus as we go into fasting and prayer. We're saying, Lord, our focus is You. As You said to Abram, I am Your shield and Your very great reward. God, You're my reward. All the other rewards I need and desire are in God Himself, who is my reward. And so I'm going to come after You, Lord. I'm going to come after You with an intensity, a focus, with a self-sacrifice, with a subjugation and a putting down and a putting to death of the flesh in terms of my physical appetite, because I want You more than my, as Job says, I treasured the words of Your mouth more than my necessary food. And no, these are decisions you take. They're not based in emotion. They're based in the Word of God and in faith. And so in this focused time of fasting and prayer, which has begun today, make the decision to seek the Lord with all your heart. However you've sought Him before, to say, at least for this next 10 days, I'm going to seek the Lord like I've never sought Him. And if for some medical reason you can't do a full water-only fast, I'd encourage you to cut back as many meals as you can and make the food that you do eat simple, modest, and minimal. That's the whole principle behind the fast, is to subjugate, to put down your natural appetite. You know, I just pause for a moment to draw a thread of theology through the scripture. Eating starts in the first book and ends up in the last book. And the eating that started in the first book is what led to the meal in the middle of the book. That if you eat the meal in the middle of the book, you can eat the meal at the end of the book. So everything in redemptive history, listen to me. Because when you're feeling weak, I want you to remember something. Everything in redemptive history has a connection to a meal. Has a connection to a meal. It was food that Satan used. Food. When Christ died on the cross, he provided a way in which we could get to the food they weren't able to eat. And so when we partake of communion, what do? Jesus says, you eat the body and the blood. When you partake of the communion meal, you eat some things. You partake of the life of God, which points to the meal in the book of Revelation, where he says, to him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we were blocked out of eating the food we should have had. And we ate the wrong meal. And so all of mankind, spiritually, physically, biologically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, financially, have been messed up because he ate the wrong food. Now, it wasn't just a matter of ignorance. As you know, it was willful disobedience. They didn't stay in the place of restraint where the wrong food was concerned. And so fasting is one of these bits of theology wrapped up in a little tiny thing that's huge. He says you will restrain your own appetite for a season so you can have the greater good. You can have the greater good. You know, it's easy to think, well, I don't like fasting. I don't know anybody who does. I don't find it easy. I don't know anybody who does. But I do know this, God says there's a reward for it. And in the critical moments of God's people throughout the Bible and throughout church history, where people have sought the Lord with fasting and prayer, God is coming a big way. He's coming a big way. And so I don't think that our circumstance with getting a 30-day notice to exit this building, I don't think that's just some coincidence in relation to our time of fasting and prayer. And so 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. And so we're going to approach our time of fasting and prayer from today over these next 10 days with the simple little equation or formula that I gave you last week, is that we humble ourselves through fasting and prayer. Psalm 35:13 says, I humbled my soul with fasting. It's kind of interesting terminology. One of my spiritual fathers taught me to ask what's in a word. So when you study the Bible, ask yourself what's in a word. He says, I humbled my soul with fasting. My soul. Instead of my body. Because it's actually your soul that's in charge of your body. So when you bring your body in submission to your will, to your faith, then you are truly humbling yourself. Ezra 8:21 says, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all of our possessions. Well, I think all of us would like a safe journey for ourselves and our families and all of our possessions. So we humble ourselves because God gives grace to the humble. And so it's really simple. If you don't fast, you're saying there's a level of humility I haven't yet partaken of. I'm still a little bit proud. Because I just really haven't humbled myself to that point where I've said no to my appetite for a designated period of time. How many believe that you are better than Moses? Okay. Only one or two. Well, I'm not into helping you into wrongful comparisons, but he did live under a lesser covenant. And you know that fasting takes grace because he fasted, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 9, he fasted for 40 days without food or water. Now, I wouldn't advise that to do that unless God sent an angel and told you to do that. he fasted 40 days without food or water. Now, the only way he could do that is if God gave him grace. And so let's just kind of miniaturize it for ourselves. We're only doing 10 days. If God will help you with 40, he'll help you with 10. He'll help you with 10. And so you start off saying, okay, I might encompass some challenges in the process, at least for the first 3 or 4 days, because fasting, generally speaking, the first 3 or 4 days are the most challenging. That's when your body complains the most and, you know, all the toxins are being released and the sugar is being consumed and, or rather, the sugar is being consumed before the fat. And until you get rid of all the sugar, it doesn't even start on the fat, and all the toxins are being released. And so you can have some challenges in that process. But if you put your faith in God, he'll help you get through all of those. And you'll get on the other side of those difficulties, and you'll enter into a mode where there is a sense of God's presence, an ability to connect with him, a stillness in your inner man that you don't normally have. And so, God gives grace to the humble. I've given you a few verses there. God's looking for humble people. And part of our humility is our willingness and our participation in fasting. And it's our faith that gives us access into favor. So don't just say, okay, I'm going to undertake this 10-day fast. I'm just going to grit my teeth and do it. No, no. Release grace in your life. Release grace. Believe that God's going to help you do something he's asking you to do so you get the reward at the end of it. If God gives his grace to the humble, it is as though God is looking to the earth, looking to find people who humble themselves so he can reward them. Are you one of those people? If you're one of those people, you will receive a reward if you do it in faith. So fasting with prayer is an exercise of faith. Believing that God will enable you to subdue your flesh and that he will speak to you, and that he will reward your faith. Now, how does it work? That's why I gave you this pack. If you need another pack, there's plenty of those on the steward's table. We'll have some as we meet starting tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock from 8 to 9, Monday through Friday, and the following week, Monday to Wednesday, from 8 to 9. Well, these packs will be available. We will use them part of the time. And so be sure you have one so you can read the scriptures, pray the promises, read the prophecies, declare those things that are the word of the Lord. And in so doing, you are declaring and releasing your own faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes. Everybody say, faith comes.
Faith comes.
And so it's so good to take God's word, to hear it, to say it to each other. Even to say it aloud means it goes out of your mouth and comes back in your ears. Yeah, yeah, that's the word of the Lord. All right, a few tips for our time together. Pray for yourself that you'll stay focused on God. These are things to pray for. No fast stopping effects will prevail, and that you will hear from God. So you can start there as today. If you haven't started praying today, say, Lord, help me. Give me grace to do this 10 days of water-only fasting. Speak to me. If I encounter anything, help me get past that. Give me grace, even in the process of seeking you and seeking your face. I believe that all of us believe that God wants us to hear from him. He wants us to hear from him. And he says, this is one of the ways that you hear from heaven, through fasting and prayer. Pray in tongues all day long, every day. Well, you can do that under your breath. You can do it aloud. You can do it when other people are not there. You can do it in the lift. Since you won't be on the internet, you won't be on social media, you'll have time. You won't be fixing meals. You won't be buying groceries, except perhaps for your children. You can pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Build up your most holy faith, Jude 20 says. Use it as a time to enlarge the circumference of this part of your spiritual journey, spiritual life. This capacity that God has given to us is to pray in the Spirit. Pray for your family, of course. Pray for them. You see, if you believe what the Word of God says, that God says, I'm going to reward you, then put everything into the reward basket. If God says, I'm going to reward you, is there anything you would not like to have a reward for? So I'd encourage you. You see, this is how revivals start. Is that God's people prayed and fasted and they put everything in the reward basket. It wasn't, oh God, I just need a new car. Oh God, I need a loan paid off. Because when God came with a reward, he came with a reward based upon their faith. So put everything in the reward basket. I was reading this last week of several people who had members of their family who were caught in terrible places of addiction and sin, did not know Christ. And they began fasting and praying, and a whole series of miraculous events took place to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ and total healing. God is able to bring us a reward that we can't imagine if we will put our trust in him. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for those that are ill. Pray for the family of God. Pray for this family. Pray for our new facilities. And I've given you a couple of verses there. There's others in the fasting pack. Pray for the moving process of church facilities. Getting out of this one and into the new one. There's a lot of stuff here to dispose of, to move. And, as I stand here today, I can't tell you if we actually have to be out of this facility in 30 days or it might be 60 days. I can't tell you exactly how many days, but I know we're out of here. We're gone. And so there's a process, you know. You're not going to walk out of here this morning with your chair and then take it to the new place. There's a process. And so lots of details. As you know, if you've ever moved house, there's lots of stuff to take care of. Pray for individual members of the church family that come to your mind. Just while you're going about your day. You know, I find that God brings people to my mind in disconnected ways. You know, they aren't somebody who's in my immediate radar all the time, but somebody I met or that I know. And, you know, that was one thing I appreciate about my sister. She was one of these people who spontaneously prayed. And we'd be driving down the road in the car, and all of a sudden we would be talking about somebody that we had known 20 years ago. And she said, you know, I just think we should just pray for them right now. And so we did. And whatever she was doing, she had a sense that if God brought somebody to her mind, that was an occasion for prayer, praying for that person. You know, God has answers for people who don't know that you are praying for them. Pray for our missionary Bev in Ghana. Pray for the youth, the elderly, the singles, the single parents, married, marriages, children. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the discouraged. Pray for our community and its churches. Pray for Pastor Peter Kamanzi and the great work among the churches in Uganda. We take any offerings, sowing into there. Pray for him. Interesting. Pastor Peter called me with a video call this morning from their worship service. You know, our messages go to a number of countries in Africa. And so a number of the churches there have, because we're going into this time of fasting and prayer, they're going into fasting and prayer. And if I could have shown you, these people that started a little earlier than us are in fasting and prayer, and they were having their worship service this morning. You could not tell that they were fasting. They were their typical African worship service with no 2 feet on the ground at the same time. All out, joyful, passionate, worshiping the Lord. So pray for them. The interesting thing is that we're also believing that their building is going to be completed, their provisions completed. Pray for Pastors Julius and Tandy in East London and the work that they're doing there. While you're praying, give thanks for all the miracles that God's doing. You know, just in a little wider perspective, this house is a house of miracles. This house is a house of miracles. From the point that God started doing miracles and healings and so on, it's become a regular practice. Angels, stand up. Angels here today, in this house, in this family, because God does miracles. God bless you. Thank you. So we're not talking about something that's out there. There's probably hardly anybody in this room that hasn't experienced some miraculous touch from God, whether it's in your physical body and your family and your studies, your finance, whatever it is. We've had so many testimonies of God's miracle-working power. So it makes a lot of sense. When it's God's family, and he says, you know, I've been doing all these little things for you. You know, I've been fixing this and fixing that and helping you with this and helping you with that. But when it comes to a place to live, no, you're on your own. Absolutely not. That's not the kind of Father we have. He delights to do little things, and I know that what someone might consider little, you might consider huge. But he has no difficulty doing the big things. So our sheep shed doesn't make him break out into a sweat. He's not having any conversation in the Godhead. Oh, no, I never counted on that one. Didn't know they were going to do the 30-day notice thing. Oh, no. He knew from before time. New Life Bible Church was leaving 1 Graham Road. And he brought a family in that the daughter, the oldest daughter, would give a prophetic word who didn't have any knowledge of what had transpired. Because he has this track that we're on. And that's where we're headed. We have a legacy of the miraculous that's going to get bigger and larger and greater. And the children that are behind me that are growing up in the darkest, most terrible time in human history, they're going to step into their place with the legacy of a God who is awesome. They won't be at the place you and I started. They're going to be well advanced. And of course, that'll be necessary for them. But that means we will have prepared them. Because we've been faithful to be a people of faith. We've been faithful to be a people who actually believe what it says behind me. Nothing will be impossible for you. So stay focused in faith and don't allow negativity or any doubt to enter your mind. Maintain loving relationships. When you feel irritable, get up and drink a liter of water. Tips for prayer, pre-select your prayer times and places. Use the prophetic words as a partial template for your prayers and the Word of God. You got some promises there. Let God speak into your heart and meditate in the Word of God. When you open your Bible, read some verses, then stop and say, Lord, you said in your Word, come near and listen. And so that's what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm just going to come near and listen. I've read some verses. Maybe if I feel inclined to read a particular verse over again and just meditate on it, and then I'm going to stop and say, okay, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. And the wonderful thing about fasting is that it starts to dial down. If you do it properly, it dials down all those other instincts. You dial down the instinct to do something. One, because you're progressively running out of energy until your energy kicks in a little bit further down the line. But it works on your head. And that's why I encourage you to fast in the internet and television and social media. Just stay off that. Because as Job says, if I treasure the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, I've got to show that. I've got to show that. We have a world now full of people who are buzzed all the time. The attention span of people is often very short because there's stuff going on. Listen with the Word of God. Pray the promises that you find in your fasting pack. Drink water, drink water, drink more water. And after you've drunk more water, drink some more water. I brought this along today so you could identify it. You can sink your teeth into this. Well, what's inside of it? But you should drink at least one of these every day. I've almost finished one of these already today. And you say, but Pastor, why drink water? Well, don't drink water and then ask me. Number one, water refreshes. Amazing how water will refresh you. It cleanses. And so water is so good. Water, just drinking water can change your perspective. It'll help flush out all those things in your system that need flushing out so that you don't get the headache or it goes away or some nausea or some pain in your muscles or whatever. More water. So anytime anything comes up emotionally or mentally, go get a drink of water. If somebody's being difficult, go get a drink of water. Go get a drink of water. And so you say, but Pastor, that's just too simple. Well, that's the nature of Christianity. It has simple solutions to complex issues. So drink lots of water. Use the extra time you have to focus on the Lord. Record or write down any testimonies or words from the Lord that you receive. Mark these moments. And of course, attend the corporate meetings from 8 to 9 starting tomorrow. On the weekends, when we're not meeting here, pray with your family or others. Pray with them the promises and the prophetic words. You just gather two or three of you or however many and just say, okay, we got some time, let's pray these things. Let's focus in on God. Pray for each other. Here's something else I'd encourage you to do. You don't have to do this. I'd encourage you to do it. Bring a copy, not original documents, to the corporate gatherings, that's from 8 to 9 here, of the mortgage document, loans, or other important issues written down on a piece of paper. You're not going to give them to me or trade with your neighbor. They'll still be private. But what you're doing is you're coming as Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, when you go to Morrison's, you go there to buy some food. Is that what it says? Okay, in a manner of speaking. It says, you come to the throne of grace that you might receive grace in the time of need. You go to the shops because you need something in the shop. God says, I'd like you to come to my store. In fasting and prayer, come boldly to the throne of grace store to get what you need. So I'd like to encourage you. Have you ever believed God for a miracle you didn't have? Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. So bring those when we gather. Just, you may keep them in your purse or your wallet or your Bible, wherever it is, when you're here. But what you're doing is you come to the throne of grace. It's not just a biblical term. It's a place of transaction. Everybody say transaction. I love the way God makes transactions. He says, turn up, believe me, show me what it is, you got it. That's the way God makes transactions. And lastly, make worship and thanksgiving a part of your prayer time. As Philippians 4 and verse 16 says that you're come to bring your prayers and your petitions with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So even before you see a manifestation of something, you can give thanks. Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you for that. So tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we'll meet here for 1 hour. And we will seek the Lord. God has rewards for you, for your family, for your children, for your neighbors, because we seek Him. He has already provided a building for us. And we just want to walk through these days and just connect with Him, believe Him. That's the most important thing, that we believe Him. We'll get to the other side, and that all of our sowing and all of our believing will cause us to rejoice in a great way in a new venue. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Join your neighbor by the hand. You know, we're undertaking this not just because we're believing God for a new facility, but we all have our own stuff that we're looking to the Lord for in this time of fasting and prayer. And so what we're doing right now in this moment is so important. If I'm separated from you, I can't expect the blessing of God to come on me. Psalm 133 says, God commands a blessing where people walk in unity. And so I want you to pray for the one on your left and your right, that God will sustain them as they go through this period of fasting and prayer. They'll hear from the Lord, and they'll walk in unity with the whole family of God. So everybody, let's pray right now. Father. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the promise that you gave us some years ago that's on the wall behind me. We've been reminded of it in so many times, in so many ways. But Lord, in this critical moment in the history of New Life Bible Church, as a church family and as individuals, may we take to heart the word of the Lord that is forever. Nothing will be impossible for us. That the God we serve is a faithful rewarder for all those who diligently seek Him. And as we set ourselves to humble ourselves in fasting and prayer, we know, Lord, we're just entering another phase of this amazing adventure with you. How exciting to set our focus, our eyes upon you, knowing we will not be disappointed. You said those who set their hope in me will not be disappointed. And Lord, we set our hope in you. Thank you for a new facility. Thank you for healings and provisions and loans canceled and mortgages canceled and houses bought and children in school and all kinds of amazing, amazing, amazing miracles. That's the God we serve. We love you. We'll come after you. We'll come after you in these days. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people and.